Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty with you on this. I have to think of a new creative name for every Monday night that we have a show. So we'll call this the Dueling Tropical Storms Monday Night Sports Night. It rolls right off the tongue.
It does, Dalton. I'm going to give you an easy one for this Monday night. It's Happy Mamba Monday Night.
There we go.
824. Kobe Bryant's two numbers in the NBA to celebrate his birthday.
All right. I like that. Much more positive than the direction that I was going.
There you go.
It is Mamba Day now, and saw that they're going to rename a street in Los Angeles after Kobe Bryant, so that's some really cool news today on Mamba Day, and also some cool news that's really totally unrelated to the world of the NBA or basketball or Kobe Bryant. Tonight on our show, Jim Nagy, the Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director, joins us in just about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about, first off, the Senior Bowl's plans in this 2020 world of COVID-19, and of course, with four of the 10 Division I conferences not strapping the pads on, it really looks like they are not going to play this week or this year. After last week when I floated the idea that maybe the Big Ten would turn on their word and try to play season, it does not look like that will happen. But we'll talk with Jim Nagy about what the Senior Bowl is planning for this year. And, you know, they just released their preseason Senior Bowl 250. Lots of Alabama players on there, a few Auburn players on there, and some local guys on there as well. So we'll talk with Jim Nagy about all that and more coming up in the next segment. Ian Blair on the boards with us tonight, and he's been doing that college thing over at the University of Mobile, so he's primed and ready to go tonight. And I thought maybe, Corey, we would, you know, later on in the show we'll talk about the Associated Press top 25 preseason poll in detail, but I thought tonight we could go over that some and throw it back to the old school sports night, do some headlines here before we talk with Jim Nagy coming up in the next segment. And you know, as we're all swimming in the optimism of a 2020 college football season, looks like the SEC is raring to go, and you know, the University of South Alabama will be one of the first teams to take the field this football season. Their game against Southern Miss is, by my count, and from everything I've seen, the first NCAA Division I game scheduled for this year. They're going to kick off a week from this Thursday night. Can you believe it? A week from this Thursday night, college football will be played in none other than our very own South Alabama Jaguars.
And you hope that ESPN, one of the networks, will pick that game up, because, like you said, being with the local ties of being the Jaguars on a Thursday night, being one of the only college football games to start this football season, great eyeballs on the program, but more importantly, college football kicking off.
Yeah, no doubt. And today the College Football Playoff Selection Committee said, hey, we're going to do our thing this year just like we've done the last few years since the College Football Playoff has been a thing. And they said starting Tuesday, November the 17th, they will unveil their first College Football Playoff Top 25. And then every Tuesday from then until Selection Sunday, December 20th, they're going to release those rankings. As of right now, that's the plan. Of course, things could change later in the year, and they did release the preseason AP Top 25 today. Clemson comes in at number one. They included all these schools that are not playing. Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5. We'll go into detail on that later in the show, along with the actual top 25 when you take out the teams that are not currently scheduled to host or play any games this fall. But let's do a little playoff update here, because we do have some live professional sports ongoing. The NBA and NHL continue to play their playoff games. And how about 21-year-old Luka Doncic last night? The Dallas Mavericks superstar had a historic game, and that led to a game-winning three-pointer as the Mavericks beat the LA Clippers in overtime. And Corey, I got to get your take on this. Doncic, playing less than 2 days after spraining his ankle in Game 3, scored 43 points, 17 rebounds, and 13 assists. He's now the youngest player in NBA history to record a 40-point triple-double in the playoffs, tied for the second-highest scoring postseason triple-double in league history history. And then more importantly for Luka and the rest of the Mavs, that win evened up their series against the Clippers at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tomorrow night.
What's impressive, Dalton, 21 years old, the NBA keeps finding new fresh faces, to where you have the era of Jordan and Magic, to where Jordan kind of revitalized the NBA. But since then, now you've started to get a lot of fresh faces, and Luka being one of them, a spectacular scorer, and I think he's only going to continue to get better. You don't want to go ahead and put him on the Mount Rushmore of basketball yet, and I've heard the comparisons to Larry Bird or to LeBron James. He's an outstanding player, a phenomenal game, a great effort yesterday. Want to continue to see the Dallas Mavericks get better, and he will continue to get better also.
Yeah, you can't put Luka himself on the Mount Rushmore yet, but you can certainly put that performance yesterday, and so far his entire performance through this, his first playoff series ever as an NBA pro, you can definitely put that on some Mount Rushmore somewhere. Elsewhere around the league, Toronto and Boston became the first two teams to advance to the second round. They both had 4-game sweeps over Brooklyn and Philadelphia, as Ian, our Boston fan in here, shakes his fist in a good way. I guess that was more of a heck yeah, Boston's moving on. But that's already caused some movement in Philadelphia. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski said that coach Brett Brown has been dismissed from the team. They said this could be the first of several moves. They're looking at changing the front office up pretty drastically up there in Philadelphia. But after falling in the Eastern Conference semifinals 2 years in a row and then getting swept this year by Boston, it was time for a change in Philadelphia.
I think that's a good change. 7 years, but you look at the structure, the franchise players, and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they have to stay healthy. And I think that's a great nucleus, a great structure. You get somebody in there that can work from the inside out, because Embiid, if he stays healthy along with Ben Simmons, you got to get you another point guard in there. And Elton Brand, if he retools that organization in the right way, you have to remember they were one bounce, or literally 4 bounces away from making it to the NBA Finals 1 year ago. And this pandemic season, coach didn't get the pass, but I think that once you retool that organization with what you have in place, they'll do fine.
Yeah, Utah, they held on to beat Denver yesterday, 129-127. They took a 3-1 series lead. Miami went away from sweeping Indiana, those two teams playing as we speak. And Milwaukee, they took care of business earlier today, took a 3-1 series lead over Orlando. So really seems that game one Magic win may have been a flash in the pan. Also, Lakers lead the Blazers 2-1. They will play game 4 tonight at 8. And then just a couple hours ago, this one went final. Oklahoma City down by 15 at one point in the third quarter against Houston. They ended up rallying to beat the Rockets 117-114 to tie that series at 2 games apiece. And the NHL right now in the second round of their Stanley Cup playoffs. So you have 8 teams remaining in the NHL, and some good series going on there. They'll move on to the conference finals here in the next week and a half or so, and then the Stanley Cup finals not long after that. But you know what we like to talk about here more than anything else, and that is college football. So coming up in this next segment, we'll talk to a man who knows more about college football and, well, honestly, professional football than I'll ever know in my entire life. Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy joins us after the break. You do not want to miss this interview. Coming back, more Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Our next guest, I love talking to this guy, especially this time of year where we're gearing up for some college football, some professional football. Heck, high school football here in Alabama has already started. So what better time than now to talk with Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy. Jim, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, Dalton, Corey, thanks for having me back on.
Jim, so I know it's been a crazy off season. Of course, you know, we've all been following the news. I'm sure you've been following it more closely than any of us, but 2 Power 5 conferences, 2 Group of 5 conferences, and pretty much every division below D1 postponing their college football seasons and saying they're going to try to play them in the spring. I'll lead off with the question on everybody's mind: what's been the discussion at the Senior Bowl offices regarding all these COVID-19 shutdowns and your plan for later this year?
Oh man, we could fill a couple hours with this. You know, we've spent the whole offseason, the whole, for us, the offseason, the summer, really just trying to pay attention to what the landscape's going to look like. So we've had plenty of time to come up with all these contingency plans. And honestly, I don't know if it was just me being overly optimistic or being naive, probably more of the latter. I didn't think we'd be sitting here faced with having to implement some of this stuff. So it's still changing on a daily basis, though, depending on, you know, who you're listening to, who you're talking to. You know, it's just things are still up in the air. So the key thing for us is just to be flexible. And this is a fluid situation, obviously. And, you know, we had a Zoom call with all 32 NFL teams a week ago last Thursday. And it was just basically to let them know that we're prepared to adjust our week, whether that's move off our game week and move back. If we can buy ourselves some time with a vaccine and the NFL moves the draft, we'll move back. If that means expanding our week to having more of a two-week Senior Bowl, which is what it's looking like right now, is having a whole nother week in Mobile with these players and NFL, well, we're willing to do that. So, everything's on the table right now.
That's great to hear. And, of course, we don't know how or even if this season will play out for the teams that say they and teams and conferences that say they'll play this fall. But I got to get your honest opinion. I mean, you've been a lifelong NFL guy. You've been at the Senior Bowl for years now. Do you think a spring season for these conferences like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is an actual viable option?
No, I do not. I do not. I know the Big Ten is trying to make a push for that right now, but I don't think it's a real viable thing. Up until when the Big Ten made their push a couple weeks ago with big name coaches like Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh and Scott Frost, every coach that I spoke to from like you talked about lower levels and group of five schools, whether it's from, I was talking to the Grambling head coach recently because they've got a player that we'd like to have in the Senior Bowl, you know, all the way up to FBS level guys, none of them thought there's going to be a spring. I mean, really, they've been talking about a spring league, and I think that's just been to appease a lot of the fan bases in the immediacy of canceling a season and trying to, you know, take a little bit of that sting away. But up until the Big Ten thing, even the coaches I spoke to were like, man, we're not playing in the spring this year. We'll be coming back next fall. So, that's kind of how we're proceeding, is that all the players that were going to be available for this year's draft class will be available for the Senior Bowl, and they won't be playing in the spring. Now, if they pull it off, if something changes, that's great that they're able to pull it off and their kids can play some football. But we're prepared to have everyone open for our game, you know, come January 30th.
One of the things, Jim, that I know the Senior Bowl and your staff has done a wonderful job of are evaluating the 2021 guys. You wipe off your 2020 board and you start looking at your 2021, but when you start talking about not being able to see guys compete against one another, do you look at possibly expanding the Senior Bowl roster? You talked about maybe going to 2 weeks, and I know that kind of hurts a lot of these guys who were on your board. Now you have three Power 5 conferences who are going to be competing and actually putting out game film and game tape against each other, and that helps with your evaluation process, not to mention the couple of local guys that you have on your Senior Bowl 250 list, Marlon Williams prepping at McGill Tulane, and also Kadarius Toney from Blount on your Senior Bowl 250 watch list.
Yeah, Corey, we've spent, if there's been any kind of silver lining, and that's probably not even the right phrase right now, but because there isn't a silver lining in COVID to me, but mm-hmm. In terms of our workload, we had to shut down the office like everyone did back in the spring, and we had to cancel a lot of cool stuff that we wanted to do in the community this summer. We were going to do a high school 7-on-7 tournament and other things like that. So, but what it did was it allowed us to really focus all of our time on the evaluation. So our staff's worked really hard. We've evaluated over 900 players for this year's draft. So I feel like we're way ahead of the game. If we had to pick a roster today, I would feel confident doing it. But like what you said, it's you can't account for those guys that rise up and have great senior years. So I think it's easy to point to guys like Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow, guys that really used a great senior year to catapult themselves. But you even look at like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back at LSU last year, Joe Burrow's teammate, and he was a backup as a sophomore. He played behind a guy that went undrafted last year, Nick Brossette, And last year he gets his chance to be the starter, and he's the number one running back taken in the draft. So there's just no way to account for that without playing football in the fall. So hopefully that's what puts such an emphasis on the Senior Bowl this year, is that for the guys in the Pac-10 and Pac-12 and Big Ten, this is their only opportunity to get on the field and show that. And I've said this, theoretically, all of these players should have gotten bigger, faster, and stronger in the last 12 months. You know, they've all been putting in the work. And now, right now, for a lot of these kids, Mobile will be their only chance to show that.
Yeah, that's why it's so painful to see some of these seasons canceled. But the Senior Bowl Top 250, I'm thinking that maybe needs to become its own holiday, because I get pretty excited now when I see that list come out yearly. Georgia leads all schools this year with 11 players on that Top 250. You have Alabama tied with Michigan and Ohio State. Each of those schools have 8 players apiece on that 250 roster list. So let's talk about a couple of those tied players. The first two names that stand out to me are the skill players, running back Najee Harris and wide receiver Devontae Smith. What do you and the NFL decision makers expect and want to see from those two guys as they wrap up their collegiate careers?
You know, Najee just needs to keep running like he ran the second half of last season, really like the last quarter of the season. He if you've ever seen Najee up close in person, he is a big man, and he really ran like a big person late last season. He ran with a lot more aggression. He showed his ability to catch the football. So I would just continue to keep doing what you were doing and sustain it over an entire season and show the NFL that it wasn't just a couple game stretch. And then Devontae, just show what you can do when you're more of a focal point. You know, last year, I mean, you had Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy go in the first round, and again, he'll have Jalen Waddle back with him this year, but what's it going to look like when you're more the focal point? You've got more coverage rolled to you. You've got more attention from a defense. Can you still do the same thing? So, I would say those are the things they're going to be looking for. And we'd love to get both of those guys in Mobile.
Yeah, that would be outstanding. And, you know, we can't bring up Alabama players without also bringing up a few Auburn players. And you got 3 on the list this year. Of those 3, 2 of them are pretty main parts of the defense. One of them sits in the middle of the defense, linebacker KJ Britt, and then the other one will be screaming off the edge come late September, outside linebacker Big Cat Bryant. I'm wondering, you know, some of these defensive guys, they really pad the stats against some of these smaller schools. Is it a good thing? I'm sure it is for decision makers that this will be an all-conference schedule for the SEC this year. You get to see them play top competition week in and week out.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you go back and you look at the stats after a season, and a guy's got 8 sacks, but 6 of them came against the non-conference opponent.
Right.
So, no, it's a big year. KJ's a really good player, you know, kind of a downhill guy, really tough, really rugged, but he can run. He's just not an old-school Mike linebacker. The kid can really run. And the cool thing was, we had a Zoom call with the Auburn staff, I believe it was last week, maybe the week before, and to hear how they talk about Big Cat in terms of his leadership and him being the alpha leader of that defense was really cool to hear. So that's going to help him with NFL teams. And then, you know, Big Cat, he just needs to play big. I mean, right now he's coming off a year where I think he only had like a sack and a half. He was a really highly recruited kid out of high school. He has not realized that potential at all yet. So everyone's kind of waiting on Big Cat to become the guy they thought he was going to be. Mm-hmm. And you see it in flashes on tape, but it's not nearly consistent enough. So, you know, he's one of those guys that he could have a huge breakout year. He has that kind of talent. Now he just needs to get on the field and put it all together.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I hope they're able to get all the games in this fall, at least most of them. And I know you're hoping the same. We wish you the best of luck and the rest of the Senior Bowl staff, Jim. And we hope to talk with you again soon this football season.
Yeah, guys, I love coming on. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jim Nagy, Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director, and a great follow on Twitter. I think I say this, Corey, every single time that he comes on, but if you follow him at @JimNagy_SB, he's got some fantastic information that he's putting out there on Twitter, and it's actually exactly where I found the Senior Bowl Top 250 to start with, and lots of good players on that list.
Well, the couple of things during that interview, Dalton, that really struck my mind as interesting is a possible 2-week Senior Bowl period.
Yeah, how about that?
And that would be outstanding, and it give these NFL coaches an opportunity to not only spend a little bit more time in Mobile, but a chance for the players to acclimate to the NFL process a little bit better. So by far the NFL elite all-star game is the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl, and Jim Nagy and his guys do a great job. But it, there's always, when you play the game, you love to see your Alabama and Auburn guys on the roster. But if you can get Marlon Williams, if he has a great year at Central Florida, or you can get Kadarius Toney from Florida in the game, it always brings that outside interest even more so to the game.
I wish I could remember. I know a story came out here recently, and what's sad is I think we even posted it to our Facebook, the FM Talk 1065 Facebook, but I know there's a big-time college commentator who brought up the idea of maybe having like a miniature season for a lot of these guys in the Big Ten, Pac-12, MAC, you know, all the conferences that canceled, MWC, the Midwestern Conference, and maybe having some kind of shortened, like maybe two games against each other, something like that, and actually have like a bubble league right down here in Mobile. I thought that was a fantastic idea. I'm sure there's so much red tape around some of these things that it'd be difficult to make that happen, but it sounded like a great idea to me on its face, mostly because people are coming to Mobile, and these high-class athletes would be coming down here.
And here's the thing. You have a couple of stadiums to where you can practice. You can practice downtown at Ladd Peebles, continue to get use out of that. You can use South Alabama's indoor and outdoor practice facilities. So you would have the ability to do that, really. And that's a great idea to get extra college athletes participating and scrimmaging against one another, and that's possibly what that one extra week may allow for the Senior Bowl and Jim Nagy to do, because I know those guys are just heartbroken by the opportunity not to play football this season.
Yeah, and that would be outstanding. And you know, there's so many good local guys. I mean, you brought up Kadarius Toney. There's also a couple South Alabama Jaguars that made the list this year. And you talk to draft guys, the guys that look at this year in and year out, and they say the Senior Bowl is the best metric for grading these guys. Not the combine, nothing else, but the Senior Bowl. So thanks to Jim Nagy for coming on with us. Coming up, we'll talk about the Associated Press preseason top 25 and what it actually looks like once you take the teams out that aren't playing this fall. More Sports Night on the way.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. I'm Dalton Erwig. Corey LaBounty in the studio as usual. Ian Blair running the boards for us. Want to thank Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy for coming on with us. And Corey, I don't know, he may have been on our show more than any other guest to this point. I don't know. It's a close call, but we've talked with Jim several times over the last couple of years, and obviously want to talk to him a lot more as this year progresses, because they already have a monumental job to try to – I mean, you can go through the NFL and pick out the best players pretty easily. You have 32 teams. You've got numerous reporters for each team. You've got millions of people watching each game every weekend and doing all these crazy analytics on all these players. So you pretty well know who the best players in the NFL are. But for the NCAA, I mean, you look at the top 25 teams, that's a pretty good place to start to find your best players. But there are some real hidden gems in the rest of the NCAA, and it's the Senior Bowl's job to find those guys, and they do them a great service. There's some guys making millions of dollars now in the NFL that may not have been found if it weren't for the work of Jim Nagy and the Senior Bowl crew there. So they've got an even tougher job this year with fewer conferences playing and a lot of guys that aren't even stepping outside of their own conference.
You know, the great thing and the great resource that we have here in Mobile, Alabama, is the availability of a Jim Nagy wanting to come on to Sports Night to talk to us, to give us the knowledge and the latest updates about the situations and the ongoings of the Senior Bowl. And like you said, I get excited when the Senior Bowl 250 watch list comes out, but it's going to be hard to trim that list down when you only have three out of your Power Five conferences playing football, because again, there's always room on that roster for those three or four Division II, Division III guys that nobody's heard of. They come to Mobile, Alabama and make millions of dollars the week that they're here.
Yeah.
So that part of it, you just hate to see, and like you said, being taken out of the office for a couple of weeks, but having the ability to focus on that 2021 draft board, so to speak, for the Senior Bowl is spectacular.
Well, when I was looking at the Senior Bowl top 250, which they just recently put out, and I didn't get to ask Jim about this earlier, but one thing that really stood out to me looking at this roster and grouping it by position, I'm pretty sure there's not a position in the entirety of college football that's been more affected by the transfer market, the transfer portal, than the quarterback position. Because if you look at these, especially when they make it to the senior level, because if you're a really good quarterback and you actually stick with a team like Trevor Lawrence has with Clemson, obviously he's a bit of an outlier. He's, you know, a guy that's been pegged as the top guy for years now, but he's been at Clemson his entire career. He's likely to leave this year after his junior season. So you've got these underclassmen that know they're going to be at least a high draft pick. But then you have these seniors who have kind of bounced around. They've either been demoted at certain schools, or it looked like the end of the road was coming for them when another high star recruit is brought in. And you look at the Senior Bowl top 250 quarterbacks, there are so many of these guys that are ending their collegiate careers at a school different than the one they began their career at. So take Jake Bentley. He's on the list here. He's at Utah now. And remember, he was the guy at South Carolina. I don't know the stats, but I would say one of the youngest ever starters in the SEC.
He was.
Because he left his high school here in Alabama very early and was one of the first people to leave mid-senior year in high school and go to college. And then he felt like it was the end of the road for him there in South Carolina. And I think he took last year off, and now he's in Utah, and he made the list. Ian Book, he's a guy that's been at Notre Dame, I think, his entire career. He's on the list. Shane Buechele, who's with SMU now. He was a Houston quarterback, and he did start a few games, but he was really in competition with another guy that made the list and who stuck with the Texas Longhorns, Sam Ellinger. He's also on the list, and once Ellinger beat out Buechele, he transferred to SMU, but still wise move because now he's starting for that team and could be playing in the Senior Bowl later this year. Felipe Franks, he's with Arkansas now. Remember, he got replaced at Florida by Kyle Trask, another guy who's also on the list, Kyle Trask. So you've got at least four quarterbacks that will be possibly competing at the Senior Bowl with the guys that pushed them out of their starting position at their previous schools. Miami quarterback, Derek King, he was the Houston guy. Remember he and the big news when he said he was going to hold out last year, you thought that Houston may have been just stacking those upperclassmen and having them come back for the final year, but King ended up transferring to Miami. He made the list this year. And then Jamie Newman, who right now I guess is expected to be the starter at Georgia unless he gets beat out by that USC quarterback that came over from the West Coast. And so Jamie Newman, another transfer there. He came from Wake Forest, is planning on starting at Georgia this year, made the Senior Bowl top 250. I don't know. It's just something that stuck out with me. When you talk transfer portal, it seems like more quarterbacks, maybe there's more players overall at other positions that transfer, but the quarterbacks are the ones who transfer and end up starting and having a prominent role in the offense.
You look no further than Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. And the old situation is if you're a graduating senior, then you can go ahead and have immediate eligibility when you transfer. But the thing that I would like to continue to find out from Jen Nagy, we didn't have an opportunity to ask him from a time standpoint, is because the NCAA is granting this extra year of eligibility, and if you are a situation or somebody who you felt like you didn't have a good year and you want to go back and increase your numbers, you can go ahead and stay an additional year and increase your stock and your value as far as from a draftee standpoint. So I think that's something that a lot of these transfer portals will be looking at also. Well, because this person is a senior, they may go ahead and move on, and if they do move on, I can go ahead and have that extra year of eligibility behind them also.
Something else I don't understand with the NCAA, and I'll just file this on my list of grievances, but you've got several guys still waiting for the go-ahead from the NCAA to grant them waivers to play after transferring. One is possibly the starting quarterback at Kentucky, former Auburn quarterback Joey Gatewood. I don't believe, last I checked, that he's been granted that waiver from the NCAA. And then you have former Georgia offensive lineman Cade Mays,
yes,
who transferred to his father's alma mater and the place where his brother, who's going to be an incoming freshman this year, the University of Tennessee. The NCAA did not grant him that waiver. Now, he's appealed that, but if you're going to give an extra year of eligibility to everyone that plays this year but deny eligibility to the people that transferred, what's the link there? That's something I'm having a lot of trouble figuring out. And maybe I feel a little burnt that they're not letting Mays play this year for Tennessee. But if you're going to grant eligibility to everyone an extra year, then these transferring guys, just let them get on out there. Come on.
I agree, and I know that you love your Tennessee Volunteers, but this doesn't. This is bigger than the Tennessee Volunteers. This is just right is right and wrong is wrong, and it's a situation where the NCAA has really made the wrong decision in this young man being eligible. I know they filed an appeal process to get hopefully get him on the field for this 2020 season, and that's what you would like to see for him.
Well, the Associated Press preseason top 25 poll was released today, and if you heard Paul Feinbaum, he had an interview on earlier with one of those AP voters, Ralph Russo, who actually writes with the Associated Press. And he basically said the reason they included Big Ten teams, Pac-12 teams, is because as of right now, no one has played a game. And it could very well happen that everybody cancels tomorrow and no one ends up playing. So they wanted to go ahead and put those teams on the top 25, which makes perfect sense to me. But let's go ahead and roll this out. Clemson, they come in at number one in the preseason top 25 polls. They got 1,520 points, 38 first-place votes. Ohio State, who is, as of right now, not set to play this season, they come in at number two on the poll. Alabama at number three. The Tide only got two first-place votes. Georgia at number four, no first-place votes for the Bulldogs. Oklahoma comes in at number five. They're the top Big 12 team that's ranked. LSU, the defending champions who lost a lot of players from last year's roster, they come in at number six this year. Penn State, seven. Again, not playing. They're in the Big 10. Florida, eight. Oregon, nine. Notre Dame, 10. Auburn at 11, the same place they were for the coaches' poll. Wisconsin coming in at 12. Texas A&M, 13. Texas, 14. Oklahoma State, 15. Michigan 16, USC 17, North Carolina 18, Minnesota 19, Cincinnati 20th, UCF 21st. They will be playing this year and will probably, I think they've actually gone ahead and accepted the national championship trophy for the upcoming season. Utah at 22, Iowa State 23, Iowa 24, and then the Tennessee Vols come in ranked 25th on this preseason top 25 poll. Any thoughts that jump off the page at you there?
Yeah, I mean, we're almost a month away from in regards to SEC play, but I just think that I'm just glad that they did come out with a poll, and they did not punish those schools who could not play. But at the end of the year, the top 25 poll, AP and coaches, is going to look a whole lot different than your preseason poll in which you see right now. And it's going to play itself out because you're going to have some great top 10 matchups. The SEC, again, very well represented in the top 10 polls, and that's what you expect.
Well, the SEC gets even better represented once you take out those Big 10 and Pac-12 schools. I'll let you know some of the teams that actually sneak up once you take those conferences out of the mix. And also some Florida Gators return to practice after a holdout that wasn't talked about much. More on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 coming up.
Sports Talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
Wrapping up FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night on this Monday night. Hope everyone out there is staying happy and healthy and safe in this wild and wacky 2020, but I know I'm optimistic because football is on the horizon and there's professional sports being played on the TV right now. You know, we were talking about the preseason AP Top 25 poll, and once you take out those Big Ten and Pac-12 teams, it does look quite a bit different. And for those that are fans of teams that are used to toiling right outside of the top 25, you'll take any kind of solace in being given one of those rankings that you can. And so once you take those teams out, kind of gets interesting because the SEC goes from having six teams ranked in the top 15 to having six teams ranked in the top 10. You move Texas A&M up to nine, Auburn to number eight, Florida to six, LSU to five, Georgia to three, and Bama to two, and all of a sudden you have six of the top 10 ranked teams in the nation. And then they moved Tennessee up from 25 to 16, and then the Kentucky Wildcats end up sneaking in at number 22 on the list, which gives the SEC now eight ranked teams in the top 25. A couple other teams that make their way into the top 25 once you take some of these other schools out. Appalachian State, who looks like the team to beat this year in the Sun Belt Conference, they move up to number 21 in the top 25. And to me, that makes it automatic. That's the team to beat if you're playing in the Sun Belt this year.
And one of the biggest things, though, Dalton, I talked with another sports writer today about these bowl game situations. You can finish with an outstanding regular season, Sun Belt Conference 8 plus 4 games, 4 non-conference games, but you can play 12 games and not have an opportunity to participate in a bowl game because of the bowl tie-ins. And as they continue to make those decisions, we'll continue to keep you updated.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll be really interesting later this year once it comes time for that. And, you know, I heard Paul Feinbaum on before us. He said now that Kevin Warren has made that Big Ten decision, even with parents protesting outside of the Big Ten offices last week and letter-writing campaigns, petitions started by Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, it really does not look like the Big Ten is going to reverse course on that at all. And it's crazy. You look at the difference in the reaction for the Big Ten postponing their season compared to the Pac-12 postponing theirs. And really, it's all about transparency. The Pac-12, and there's a large part of it that they don't live and eat and breathe football on the West Coast, at least college football, like they do, especially here in the SEC. But Big Ten is football country as well. They take it seriously up there, but it really does not look like the Big Ten is going to reverse course on this at all. Something that I've been kind of keeping my eye on over the last few weeks, you know, we talk about players that may be opting out for the season, and Florida looked like they had a real problem on their hands because there were four Florida Gators that missed the start of their fall training camp, which opened, was that last week or the week before? They have returned to practice with the team. You have one defensive end, Zachary Carter, but then the spot that they were really going to be hurting if they didn't come back, three wide receivers and three starting wide receivers that were not practicing with the team. You start with Kadarius Toney, who's a Mobilian, made his way over to Gainesville. He was one of those receivers. Also, Jacob Copeland and Trevon Grimes. They have all joined the team here over the last few days. They did not report to camp last week, and Dan Mullen was kind of talking about it at the time. He said he would support anyone's decision to opt out, but it seemed like they were having issues with the school and the conference fighting ahead and trying to play this season during this COVID-19 pandemic. And those receivers, very important to the team. But even the defensive end there, Zachary Carter, last year he had 4.5 sacks for the team. But if these players didn't play, then who was Kyle Trask going to throw to? He had no receivers unless these three showed up. So I would really be interested in someday getting the behind-the-scenes story for what exactly was going on down there in Gainesville. I know Dan Mullen, he's set to talk with the media tomorrow right around noon. And, I mean, good luck. I don't think they're going to get anything out of him regarding this situation. But it is good to see at least our local guy there, Kadarius Toney, suited up this year.
That's what you want to see. I mean, you look at a situation to where we have had a local player opt out, Neil Farrell, decided to opt out, and we've had some NFL players locally decide to opt out of the NFL season. So you don't know if that's really the situation. I know Coach Saban at Alabama said he was not going to discuss COVID-19 related guys who decided to go ahead and leave the program, but it's a situation to where you're exactly right. Kadarius Toney, electric player. You want to see him be a part of Dan Mullen's staff and see what he can do this year.
Yeah, and you want to see him move on and have a successful career in the professional realm as well. Also, I think you ought to keep your eye on this news. I call this the Madden curse news because, yeah, maybe Patrick Mahomes last year took that Madden curse and broke it over his knee and then threw it in the trash on his way to Disney World for collecting that MVP trophy. But you know the guy who's on the cover of Madden this year? You know who that is, right?
That would be one Lamar Jackson?
That's correct. The okay. quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, of course, youngest Heisman winner in history back during his Louisville Cardinal days. Well, Madden came out Tuesday, I believe. I'm a father now, so I wasn't able to stand outside in line at GameStop this year like I have years prior. But Lamar Jackson's actually, he came back today, but he's missed a few practices up there at Baltimore Ravens training camp. I guess he's had a groin injury. The coach there, John Harbaugh, he said it was a soft tissue injury. He wouldn't go much into further detail. He said it's training camp and we're getting close to the season. We're not talking about injuries too much. So great news that Lamar Jackson was able to make it back out there onto the field. But Corey, over the years, whether it's high school, college, or NFL, these groin injuries, especially for a guy that runs the ball as often as Lamar Jackson does and makes the cuts that he makes and the jumps that he makes, these things can linger for months and months and months. And the time you don't want to have a groin injury is any time during the season, but especially right before the season gets ready to kick off.
And Dalton, all the more important because there are no preseason games in the NFL, and that's something to keep an eye on because you don't know if you're going to have a condensed or shortened season because the NFL players are not in the bubble. So with that being said, it'll be interesting to see how this injury going forward is handled.
Well, they're not in a bubble, but did you see the recent testing stats from the NFL? I saw some people describing it as, you know, they're not in a literal bubble, but the way they're able to test these players, and they've done so many tests, I think they said they've had 58 or 59,000 COVID-19 tests to this point on NFL players and staffs and training staffs. You know, pretty much everyone that's around those NFL players is getting tested daily, and they've had zero players test positive here over the last week. I think there were quite a few staff members that have tested positive, but when you're testing that often, and you know, we'll have to see as the year progresses, but you kind of can avoid that bubble environment that they have in the NBA and that they have in the NHL. As long as you're testing daily and you're able to remove those players as quickly as possible, of course, you need a lot of money. That's something that in the NCAA ranks, the SEC and the Big 12 have, and the ACC that some of these other conferences don't. I think the most recent story I saw, they've been testing, I think, three times a week for some of these conferences. But when you're able to test daily and get results almost instantaneously, you could set up your own quasi-bubble.
As long as it's not false positive tests that were received in the NFL, a lot of tainted tests there. So, again, I've been watching Hard Knocks with the Chargers and the Rams, and the bubble that those guys have been inside in regards to at their training facilities has been awesome.
Yeah, it really has been, and I'm going to need to steal that HBO password because I watched the free week one Hard Knocks. And HBO took the app off my Roku, so I've got to figure out somebody else's password to steal so I can catch up on that.
I got you covered.
Some big news we weren't able to get to earlier in the show. We talked about it some last week, but it was still kind of a to-be-determined deal. But Spanish Fort and St. Paul's coming up this Friday. It'll be broadcast not on just one of those ESPN networks, but
the mothership.
The mothership, ESPN, Friday night. Cole Kublik will be on the call, somebody we've had right here on Sports Night. So that'll be outstanding to watch. Hope everyone has a great week. I hope we keep progressing to having an SEC football season. And remember, South Alabama takes the field next Thursday night. We're going to go into detail on that next week.
Looking forward to it, Dalt.
That does it. Sports Night FM Talk 106.5. We'll see you next Monday.